The next kina deals with events that seemingly have nothing to do with Korban Beis HaMikdash. The events that the Paitan discusses are, of course, the events of the First Crusade. The details are fairly well known. They're even mentioned in the Artzgar Kinos, in the notes. The Pope sent word that he wanted to free the Holy Land from the infidels. And as a result, large numbers of people gathered together to go. Now, the people who gathered to free the Holy Land were, of course, not the members of the upper strata society. These are the lowlives, the people effectively without work, people who had months to give to just go on a crusade. That wasn't enough. Some of the history books mention how the prisons were emptied, and the Pope promised them that anyone who goes on this crusade will get a share in Olam Haba. And people went, and they went to take the Holy Land. Of course, you need money on your way. It's a long trip from Europe to Israel. And part of the deal was that they could pillage any Jewish community on the way and take the riches that they found. And Arkina describes the events that happened in three of these communities, in Worms, in Spire, in Mayence, the events that happened at the time of the First Crusade. We don't know exactly the numbers of people who died, but the numbers are not high at all by our standards. By our standards, approximately, what we know is probably 5,000 people in total died. It's not very large numbers by our standards. And this falls into question, why is it that we still say a kina about the events of the First Crusade if the numbers were not that high? Moreover, the consensus among historians today is that the Crusade was not what's called a watershed moment. There wasn't a huge sea change in Jewish life in Europe because of the Crusade. When we think about it, Rashi lived before and after the First Crusade. He wrote before and after. If anything, most of what we have in the creativity of Torah from the European heartland came after the Crusade. The Bali HaTosis came after. And the question really is, if it's not a watershed moment, as the historians point out, there was persecution beforehand and after, so why exactly does the First Crusade occupy such a prominent place, not only for us on Tisha B'Av, but for the historians also? This is one of the major areas of inquiry. Why is this true? Now, I remember how Dr. Soloveitchik once mentioned in class that he had a conversation with Leon Wieseltier over a cup of coffee at one point. And Leon Wieseltier, who's not a student of history, but is a person who has very penetrating insights, he commented that he felt the First Crusade represented the last time that the Jews were surprised by a persecution. Prior to the Crusade, the Jews in Europe felt protected. They had an official status of servae camerae. They're the servants of the king. They had their protector. They pay a little bit of money, some taxes. They're taken care of. What could happen? Jews are even allowed in fortresses. By German law, Jews are now allowed to carry weapons. That represented a certain status in society. They felt protected. And even so, what happened with the Crusade came, and it was a tremendous shock, and it ended the feeling of protection. So perhaps one of the reasons why we say Akina about the crusade is because it represents that our life in Golos, no matter how safe and secure we feel we are, but Golos existence is by definition fragile. And this is one of the lessons of the crusade. However, I think if we read the Piyut carefully, we see something else. The Piyut focuses, in addition to the communities that were destroyed, to the destruction of Torah. There's a line, Enu v'konenu zos v'hagida, say out loud, wail, A Torah, Talmud v'halomda, where is the Torah? Halo ha-mokom in Yoshev Chorev, al Beis Yisrael v'al Am Adonai kinofu v'chorev. The Piyut mourns the destruction of Torah. And the question is, why are we mourning the destruction of Torah if what we said before is that most of the Torah that we learn in this Beis Medrash throughout the year is Torah that happened after the Crusade? So what exactly is the destruction that we're mourning? And in the book that Rabbi Schachter put out from the Rav on Kinos, the Rav actually, he didn't raise these questions, but the Rav had a very nice way of describing this Kina. The Rav said that when you think about it, Rashi had to travel as a youth from France to Germany. Rashi's Rebbeim were German. But after Rashi traveled to Germany, after the First Crusade, so Germany is no longer the same center of Torah that it was before. What we lost, effectively, is that after the First Crusade, the center of Torah shifted from Germany to France. German culture continued, but it's not what we study in the Beis Medrash. The Paitonim are mostly Germans. The Arugas HaBosen is a German Rishon, it's on Piyut. But most of the German Rishonim are not what we generally study in the Beis Medrash. Even those that we study in the Beis Medrash are kind of used as a foil to Taisus. The Urzarua, the Mordechai, they tell us stories that bring the discussions of the Bali HaTaisus to life. But effectively, what the Rav pointed out is that the Avelos that the Mekonein is describing is an Avelos for a culture of Torah in Germany, which was a culture of Perushim, Pshat. Rashi's Rebbeim, the Pshat, this standard flowing pshat that Rashi adds to Gemaras that makes Gemara so easy to understand. And on those Masechtas when we don't have Rashi, it's so hard to learn. This is what we lost. Because in some ways, this is what Rashi got from the German tradition of Rishonim, this flowing approach to write a Perush. And in many ways, this is part of the loss. This is a Torah, Talmud v'Halomda. This is part of the loss of through the Crusades. I just want to focus for one more minute on the famous part of this Kina. When the question came up about establishing an additional day of Yom HaShoah, of course, the question came to Gedolei Yisrael, including the Rav, and they all pointed out from a line in this Kina that really we should not establish a separate day of mourning, because all of the Avelos, just like we're saying the Kina now for the Crusade, but all of Avelos for every event in Jewish history, every tragedy, is included in Tisha B'Av. This is why we recite Kinos later on for the Holocaust. There were traditions that would recite Kinos for Gezeres Tachvatat. The Shach himself wrote a Kina for Tachvatat. And the Rav and Rav Velvel both pointed out, this is really a line in this Kina. It says, V'chi ein lahosif moed shever v'tzav eira, we cannot add an additional day, V'hein la'akdim zulasi la'akra, etc. right? Tisha B'Av, because it's Purana, so we push it later, we don't make it earlier. Everything is included on Tisha B'Av. All other tragedies are part of the Avelos of Korban Beis HaMikdash. They point out that, of course, this is the comment that Rashi has in Sefer Divrei HaYomim, that Rashi says that on Tisha B'Av we're supposed to recite Kinos for events that happened in our days and events in all generations, because everything is somewhat connected to Korban Beis HaMikdash. Everything stems from Korban HaBayis. That's the comment of Rashi. It's just worth noting that the Sefer Emek Bracha points out that this comment of Rashi in Divrei HaYomim is really not mentioned by any of the poskim. The Emek Bracha in some ways seems to be defending the institution of Yom HaShoah. I don't think he would, but that's what the upshot of his comment is. He says the poskim don't mention the comment of Rashi. It would seem that the halacha is that you can establish days and you can mourn at other times besides Tisha B'Av. And that, of course, raises the question, so why don't we? If we can, if the halacha is not like this Rashi, so why don't we establish other days? And it seems that the answer is because Tisha B'Av is just the most appropriate day. Technically, we could establish another day, but why do it? We're already sitting on the floor, we're already crying, we already realize how much we lost by Korban HaBayis, and how Korban HaBayis is a destruction not only of a physical structure, but it's a destruction of a certain type of Torah. Right? The Sanhedrin came, the Sanhedrin wasn't Lishkas HaGozes. And with the destruction of Korban HaBayis is a destruction of Torah, and therefore any destruction of Torah that happens, there's no need to establish another day, even if halachically it's permitted, because l'maisa, it's all subsumed in Korban HaBayis. L'maisa, it's unnecessary. And maybe that's what the Paitan means also. I don't know if the Paitan is saying that halachically we can't establish another day, but e'lahosif, Moed Shever V'Taveira means there's no need to establish another day, because it's all here. Korban HaBayis is not just a physical structure, but it really represents everything that will come after. It represents the fragility that we go through in Golos, and the fact that we're never secure, and it represents the destruction of Torah, which unfortunately happened time and time again.